Nope. There we go, I think. Right? Nope. Okay. It says on. And Brother Wiggins. Technically. Still nothing? Got it. Sorry about that. Thank you. Brother Wiggins has that great touch. Once again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you would please. It has been a great honor and blessing this morning to see our American heroes, our American patriots. I have them around us. I have them home. We're truly, truly are blessed as well. I have a collection of veteran men and women who have made Heritage Baptist Church, their church home. They're true born-again individuals who have put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They realize that they perhaps at some times were near death, and if they had never made sure of eternity in heaven, they did so at one point in their life to make sure they were ready and prepared for all of eternity. Today, that would make them Christian patriots, spiritual patriots, as well as all of us are American patriots. And that's why on this day that we honor them, we're looking this coming Tuesday as well as a practice of the American process, the national election for the presidency of the United States. As Americans, we all want to be good patriots, and we should vote. As good Christian patriots, we look for those godly qualities that we would like to see characterize the right candidate. Besides getting called up in the dilemma, we're also understanding that not only is America the place that we've served and we live and that we've honored with the sacrifice of our time as veterans, but also we have another home that is in heaven. Heaven is our home as well. So we're caught in this dilemma. The dilemma is God's priorities, heaven's priorities, but also America's priorities of electing someone this coming Tuesday. Like Paul, he is caught between the two. In Philippians 1:23-24, he says, I am a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Dual citizenship, heaven, home. And that is our dilemma. When we look to vote for someone this Tuesday, we're looking to vote for someone to fix America's problems at home. But after all the campaigning, after all the accusations, after all the name-calling, after all the rhetoric, after all the talk about emails, I do have one candidate we would never, ever be disappointed in, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can fix America. He is the only one who can fix our issues. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Father in heaven, speak to us now from your word. As always, we look to you. We've been looking to man. We've been hearing the messages. We've been hearing the rhetoric. We've been hearing the campaign. But now, Heavenly Father, on this day, your Lord's day, we want to hear from you. We want to find out what you say. And we want to abide by that with the promises and the truth, abiding here in your word. Speak to us now as we strive to be Christian patriots to do your will. For it's all in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. 2 Chronicles, if you would please, chapter 7, familiar to most every one of us. It is an admonition that we have laid down here for us, for Christians to understand what God can do through any country and any nation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, we have these words, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This tells me God is interested in any nation. He's interested in any country. He's interested in any group of people that is willing to humble themselves and call out him and call him to be their Lord and their God. He knows what he can do for countries. It says in Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. He already tells us He will bless us. He already tells us that if He will be lifted up, if He will be honored, then He will bless any people, any nation, not just America alone. And God knows how a nation is best to run. He understands the governing process. He understands it more than perhaps we do. He understands that righteousness is exalted and morals are upheld. He knows that that is how a nation should operate. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I am personally amazed this election year, not only the conduct of some of our candidates, but also the conduct of some Christians I've been around. I've heard the junk, I've heard the garbage, I've heard them wallow in the same muck and mire as the candidates, name-calling, and all the other accusations. And there's such a fervor, such a frenzy, you would take away from all of that, that some of these Christians believed in some of the rhetoric and believed that one of the candidates is going to fix all of America. But it can never happen. It can never happen. Because will any of them bring us back to the 1950s of Father Knows Best, of Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith, and bring us back to our innocency? I don't think so. Will they repeal the Same-Sex Marriage Act? Will they repeal the abortion Roe versus Wade? Will they repeal the transgender movement today? I don't think so. If all of those things were repealed, and all the energy effort were made to repeal a lot of those things, and not one single soul was saved, it would all be for nothing. Our job is not to reform America. Our job is to reform mankind through the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a commander in chief who will fix America. Let's put all of that energy, all of that effort, all of that dynamic, all of the rhetoric into honoring Him and lifting Him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Not lifting up a candidate to fix America. So we are called to be a good soldier. We're called to be a Christian patriot. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 had the knowledge of the characteristics of those soldiers that were around him. And he saw something about them. He saw something in them. He saw their discipline. He saw their uniforms. He saw and had a great deal of respect for who they were. And Paul made this comment about being a good soldier. He said in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul was never a soldier, but he saw something about them that he liked. He saw the respect. He saw the discipline. He saw the sharpness of what they were all about. And he had respect unto them, and that's why he told us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier, number one, is a follower. We find that in verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In order to be a soldier, you must be one who has joined the army. No one can be a soldier of the Lord until you've joined the army of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3:3, he answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul made mention of this in Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. We are seeing here, in order for you to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to join His army. It's an all-volunteer thing. You'll never, ever be drafted. You'll never have your arm twisted to do something you don't want. And by the way, many of our men and women that stood up here, perhaps in the recruiting station, read all of the fine print about what their job description was, only to find out it ain't going to happen because we're doing more than what our job description told us. We're doing more than what our recruiter told us. And my friend, as a Christian soldier, we're going to end up being asked to do more than what we had thought ahead of time. This implies not only a recognition, but also a rank. There is a commander-in-chief, someone that is over us. Every child of God is ranked under the Lord Jesus, and we are responsible to follow Him. It also implies rules. We don't like rules. I have known individual young teenagers who had told me when I pastored, well, I'm going to run away from home. I don't like mom and dad, so I'm going to join the Marine Corps. Oh, yeah, I don't like their rules, but you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, a rude awakening. By the time you landed there, you're told your hair is all cut off. You're barked orders from beginning to end. Indeed, it implies rules. Shortly after joining the Navy, a new recruit asked his officer for a pass so he could attend a wedding. The officer gave him the pass, but informed the young man that he would have to be back by 7 o'clock Sunday night. He said, sir, you don't understand. I'm in the wedding. The officer replied, you don't understand. You're in the Navy. There are things that we have to do by rules and regulations that we will not like and we will not want. Must be willing to submit to His Word. We must be willing to go the direction that God would have us to go. To refuse to follow orders has been in the military called treason. And a court-martial could ensue. When you're in the Lord's army, we have an obligation of obeying those orders. Notice, the call of Christ has never changed. In Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus to His disciples, if any man come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then you can follow Me. There are conditions, there are things that have to be done. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Not only that, to be a good soldier has to be faithful. You must be faithful. There in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Timothy was told by Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We find in verse number 3, there is patience in being a soldier. Sometimes you're told to stand at an attention for an unspecified time. I remember standing in line at the chow hall before you could eat, hungry as all get out. And a fly approached me. It landed on my nose. I swatted at it. It wasn't even a nanosecond. I had a drill instructor barking up me down, one side down the other. Private Cox, you don't swat my flies. They belong to us. Sorry, sir. Yes, indeed, you must be patient. A good soldier realizes there are troubles along the way, but not to be deterred by them. A good Christian soldier understands that pain and suffering is a part of the Christian soldier process. And for many, in this election experience, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of things going on. And they're probably suggesting to themselves, I don't like who I think might get elected and I'm going to have to endure a lot of pain. Guess what? Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hey, I got a prediction for you. At the end of November the 8th, or the early hours of November the 9th, I know who's really going to win in America. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's ultimately going to win. Yes, listen to these words. Mark them down. Daniel 2:21. And He changed the times and the seasons. He removeth. God removeth. God removeth the kings and setteth up kings. And He giveth wisdom unto the wise and the knowledge to know that understanding. Did you catch that? It is God who sets up kings. It is God who puts down kings. It is God who ultimately is in charge of it all. But that's not all. Daniel 4:17. That the living may know. That the living may know that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, so that you may know He ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will and setteth up over it the basest, the lowest of men. That tells me that no one is going to be greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me that whomever is elected will be the basest of all compared to our God and our Heavenly Father. Indeed, he's in charge. He's in control. Do not despair. Do not be frightened. Do not be disillusioned. God is still on the throne, and he's still in charge. Remember, Christian, we have to face life, and we have to have so with extreme patience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We also find that a soldier is seen because of his priorities. A good soldier must please the commander in chief. Notice, the good soldier has no higher goal than to please his commanding officer. The good soldier knows that anything that interferes with his job, anything that interferes with his performance in the military, must be done away with. So the question we have to ask, who this election year have you emphasized the most? Whom this election year have you put forth the most? Whom this election year have you espoused to solve the problems of America the most? Remember, you must have your priorities in line. Whatever or whoever it is, that person, thing, individual, candidate has been your God, not the Lord God. 1 Corinthians 10, we find in verse number 31, and whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all for the honor and the glory of the Lord God. For you are bought with a price, in verse number 20, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A good soldier is also seen in his practice, according to chapter 4, verse number 7. Chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Good soldiers take care of the things that are delivered unto him. Takes care of his weapon. Cleans it meticulously. Make sure there's no dirt. There's no scum. There's no blackness in the weapon at all. He wants to make sure I take care of that which has been given to me. He wants his life to honor in a manner that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So I guess the question has to come, whose faith do you have today? Who are you keeping in honor for? 1 Thessalonians 2 says, as you know, that we are exhorted and comforted in charge every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you should walk worthy of God, who have called you into his kingdom and glory. And then a soldier is familiar with the things he needs, familiar with the commander's voice. You'll know your commander's voice. You'll know your drill instructor's voice. You'll know what has been barked at to you. You'll know there were sheep in the Bible days, and the good sheep hears his master's voice. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Do not let strangers in. Do not let other voices in. Do not let others in who espouse a solving of America's problems this way or that way. But allow the voice of God, who tells you, I will take care of the problem. I have the answers for America. I know what is to be done. Hear the voice of the commander. Also, you must be familiar with the skill of your weapons. We mentioned that earlier. A good soldier knows that he's going to be engaged in combat. Therefore, he has to take good care of his weapons. We clean it. We do everything we can. In fact, some have been told that they are to put together and take apart their weapon blindfolded or at night. They have to be able to feel the parts and be able to put the weapon back together accurately. How well do you know your weapon, the Word of God? How well do you know the usage of the armor of God and the armor of the faith? How well do you know how to use them? When trouble comes and times of temptations and falling away come, do you know the Word of God, know where to go to find it? Or do you find it easier just to call somebody? Go to the Word of God. Get the Word of God in you. Know your weapon. Be familiar with the weaponry and the honor, the armor of God that he has given you. Also, a good soldier has a strategy. Knows the strategy of the enemy. And we good soldiers know the enemy is ever active and never rests. Members of Heritage Baptist Church are totally aware of that. The soldier of the Lord knows that the enemy is shrewd and is ever attacking. But he also knows the Lord is there. And he's greater and bigger and bigger than any enemy can be. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Indeed, he knows, regardless of the trap, that God will take care of him and provide a way of escape, as we find in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13. So the good soldier studies the methods of the enemy, knows the weaknesses, and the good soldier needs to be wise in the ways of the devil and knows that the Lord is going to be there all the way for him. We do not need to fear. We do not need to shred any doubts. We do not need to canker somewhere in the corner and cower there and thumb sucking and laying in a fetal position in a bed somewhere. Rise up, Christian. We've got a commander in chief who's greater than all. And he'll take care of your needs and take care of your life. Also, a good soldier has the shadow of his friends. When you have questionable wars and issues that perhaps politically are not clear, and military is sent in to do the job, many, many times, it's not necessarily for the American flag and for the individual in the White House or anyone else. It's usually to take care of his friends. And you and I have friends we need to seek out to bear one another's burdens. We need to realize that there are others around that might need our help. Their satchel and their pack might be extra heavy. Help lift it up. Help lift their burdens. Be with them. It is called in the military situational awareness. Sometimes we're so close to our own world, so selfish in our own world, we don't look around us. We don't see those around us who are heavy in burden and sadness and sorrow, who are hurting and pained. Indeed, a good soldier helps each other. We find also a good soldier is a fighter. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. Paul makes three statements about this. Number one, the good soldier is determined. He's not going to retreat. He's not going to cower back. He does not run from the battle. Instead, when the gunfire happens and everybody else is running that way, the good soldier runs that way. They run into the line of fire. They run to the sound of gunfire. That's their job. That's what they do. That's why we honor them. That's why they're heroes to us. A good soldier is also driven. The good soldier realizes the battle does not run according to his time frame. Indeed, it will not. He knows another is in charge during that duration. And the good soldier knows that I have to stay here. I've got to finish the battle. Paul says, I have kept the course. He says, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul realized that. Many Christians, perhaps, are just one disaster away. One disaster away from quitting on the Lord. Can't do that, Christian soldier. We can't do that. We can't quit on the Lord. We could be just that close. We can't ever do that. I challenge you. Keep serving the Lord, and when you're tired and you're upset and you're frustrated and you've got no energy left, keep serving the Lord. We keep doing it. I don't care how high those mountains are in Afghanistan. I don't care how heavy the load is on the pack. I don't care what issues the enemy may have confronted against you. You keep going on. And my friends, in the Christian life, we keep going on as well. Also, the Christian soldier is dedicated. He dedicates himself to the oath had by the raising of the hand. I will preserve and defend the Constitution of the United States. Christian soldiers put their hand on God's word. I will preserve and defend this wonderful book. Determined to live for the Lord regardless of personal cost. The good Christian soldier keeps the faith. Do you? In the times of trouble and struggles and sufferings and trials and tribulations, have you thought about throwing in the towel? Have you thought about giving up? Have you thought about saying, this is out, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be around any longer. Or have you thought about sucking it up and doing God's will? Indeed, the faith is precious to the soldier, the good soldier of Christ, and he'll do anything he can to keep serving his Lord. And then the good soldier is a finisher. I have indeed fought a good fight. I have finished my course. The soldier sees it through in the long haul. So he is able to come home. God gives us Christians with the attitude of finishers because Jesus Christ was a finisher. He could have said, no, I'm not going to go to that cross. No, I'm not going to die for the sins of mankind. No, I'm not going to take all those sins on me. I've never known any sin, Father. Why would you want me to do that? But Jesus Christ was the finisher, and he finished his mission. He endured the cross that he might have us saved today. That's our commander-in-chief. He has also, indeed, a resolve. He's got a reason, and he has a reward. And someday we're going to hear those rewards. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes, would you classify yourself as a good soldier? Have you come to Christ? Have you been saved and born again? Have you received Jesus Christ into your life? Do you know him to be your Savior? Have you decided and chosen to volunteer and be the good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you stayed faithfully to him? Our theme had been coming home. I would suggest on election day, we take that theme and say, you know what? I want God to come back to America. I want God to come home to America. God bless America. His grace shineth on thee. I want God to be the winner. I want God to be the first and foremost. I want God to be the one who gets the recognition. My friends, it only comes from people like you and I today, and this church and others like it, are America's last hope. We are America's last hope. America's last hope is not in any of the candidates this election year. America's last hope will not be found in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. America's last hope comes from good soldiers like you and I who are willing to stand up and fight for the cause of Christ. We urge you today. We beg you today. We plead you today. Come. Volunteer. Be that good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. A good soldier for Jesus. The choice is yours. The choice is always going to be yours. We hear so much about Navy SEALs. Do you realize they got to volunteer, one, to join the Navy? Number two, they got to volunteer to be in the SEAL program. Thirdly, they got to volunteer to go airborne, parachute down. And thirdly, they got to volunteer to go into harm's way. There's a lot of volunteering. Are you willing to volunteer? Are you willing to say, yes, I'll take my stand? Like these heroes that we've seen here today, I'm willing to take my stand in honor of my Lord. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'll bless them. They are invitation. It is not mine to give because I do not own an invitation. I do not have one. But you do. You can speak the hearts and souls of men, and you can talk to them about their desire to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. To stand and take their stand, having done all, to stand. What a joy. What a blessing. What an honor to be the soldier of our Lord and our Savior. Because in the long run, we know, Father in heaven, you win. You setteth up kings, you putteth them down. And you have all America in the palm of your hand. However you want it to go, we trust you, we believe you, and we may have to endure hardness, even persecution. But as a good soldier, we have to be willing to do it. All for your cause, all for your glory, all for your sake. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. Verse, please.
Just as I am.
Would you come? Would you stand now for our invitation? Would you come right now? We invite you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We invite you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We invite you to fight the good fight. Finish the course. We invite you to come. Would you come? Another verse, would you come right now? Would you come, please?
Just as
a good soldier, willing to give his life, a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It is a reasonable service, a sacrifice of God.